Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We got the coach, he old school. You know how we can tell coach is old school?
Paper.
Got that yellow paper. Not the regular paper. That yellow paper.
Write
yeah.
it. Write it so you can remember.
Keep them notes. That is all the written notes.
Yeah, Coach Herm Edwards joining us right here on the show, bringing in his binder and everything with all the notes and all the different things to talk about. Coach, how we doing?
We're wonderful. I think, obviously, tomorrow, big day for a lot of young players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dreams come true. Mm-hmm. The dynamics of certain families change by these guys getting drafted, right? And we've all gone through it. If you've been a professional athlete, you know, you've waited for this day for a long time. Sometimes your feelings get a little hurt when you don't get selected, and maybe in the round you thought you'd get selected.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always told players this when I was a coach or a former player. You know, it matters what round you get drafted, but what really matters is when you have an opportunity, take advantage of it.
Yeah. I always say it's not the first contract that validates you, it's the second one.
Ooh, that's the big one.
You know, the first one, yeah, you can fool anybody once. You can't fool them twice.
That's the big one.
Coach, you have a unique perspective because you've experienced the NFL from both sides, right? You've looked at it from a coach, you've looked at it from a player. You know, as a coach, what was one of the most satisfying calls you've ever made to a young man in telling him that he was a new member of a team that you coached?
Ooh, that's probably a good that's a good one. I think it's, you know, when you think about the calls you make, it's the dynamics of the families.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That when you see the families, the enthusiasm they have.
Mm-hmm. It's their day.
And you look at their history of maybe where they've come from.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the life of this young man is going to change the whole family dynamics. And there's another part to it, too, is that with that change, you know, it can be really good or it can be really bad.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm talking about, right?
Breathe, dog.
Yeah, you're okay.
Breathe, dog.
Yeah, drink some water.
Okay. See, coach, this was you got him all choked up. This
I got him all choked up.
That's what we're accustomed to seeing you do, coach.
I got him all choked up. But,
you got me on that one.
But
I did that right in the mic too. I'm sorry.
But no, you know, it's interesting, and the hardest thing you have to relate to players is this: when they get this opportunity, you can help your family only so much.
Yeah.
And then you have to, you know, help yourself and understand this is a profession now. This is what you do to make your living.
Yeah.
Right? And you've seen it.
Yeah, don't let them suck you dry.
Boy, I tell you what.
Be a big phrasing.
Who's that? Tyron Smith, who had to ban his family from being able to come out to training camp because they were trying to get him for money. Like, it's sad
story.
There was
a story. Now, you and I have talked about this. I don't know if, Coach, you heard this one. There's a player in the NHL whose parents, when he was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And he was successful as a young player. Got another contract. He put his parents in charge of his finances, and they stole from him.
Oh, and he never knew it.
And he was running out of money, and he didn't know how they were. And he eventually found out that they were taking his money and putting it into some other stuff that they were doing for themselves. And it blew my mind because you think about it, like we all have kids, and you know, my son has devoted his whole life to try to make it as a hockey player, right? And so you were invested so much in them to get to that place.
Yes.
I would never think to myself, as a family member, to think that, oh, okay, I can now take from you.
Yeah.
I would how would you ever think that?
They almost think they're entitled.
That's what I mean. Like, oh, yeah. I don't understand. You got here, we got there.
And it's been some bad stories, but I can only imagine. Who's that player that you got? Did you draft a kid from Kentucky, the defensive lineman that had all the cars?
First round pick.
Robinson, I believe. Yeah.
Good player, really good player in college, and got into professional football, you know, and really it just got away from him. He got hurt early, and then he got into this deal of, you know, buying cars and just
got lost in that life.
He got lost in it, and and it was a sad story because he really was a really good player.
Yeah, I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
So let's get into some Jets things here. The draft is tomorrow, and that's obviously a huge day. And for both, you know, we'll see. I mean, all the quarterback conversations at the top of the draft. Everybody is always searching for a quarterback.
Yeah.
The Jets perpetually have been searching for a quarterback, but they have found one, at least, you know, short term in Aaron Rodgers. You talked about something this morning on Get Up that I found so fascinating when it's just simply a formula that you have.
Yes.
About what a player like him can bring just in numbers alone. So can you share that, like how it can get you to a certain number of points that you can say, yeah, we have this many points. You're a coach. How do you do this? Explain.
Well, to me, they have all these statistics and all these other things.
Sure.
It's just normal math. It's just when you do the math, you do the math. And you think of any elite quarterback in the National Football League, it has become a passing league. They're going to throw 30-plus touchdowns. That's the number when you look at all of them. The ones that are really, we talk about all the time. This has got to be
the good ones.
You talk about Patrick Mahomes, that, yeah, Josh. Mm-hmm. Look at the touchdowns. You go, he's got 35 touchdowns. He got 32, whatever, man. So 30 is the number. So right away you have to ask yourself this. Okay, like if he's going to throw 30 touchdowns, I basically got 2 touchdowns in my pocket before the game starts. Just before the game starts. I got 14 points on the board. The next scenario is this, how good is my kicker? I got a pretty good field goal kicker. Well, 2 field goals in the game, that's 20 points. Right? I got 20 points on the board before the game starts.
I'm giving.
What did the Jets average this year?
Okay, 17. And so when you think about that and you go, well, what kind of defense do I have? Do they take the ball away? Yeah. Well, okay, now I get another possession.
Extra possessions.
Okay, so now then you ask yourself the next question is, and this is what you want to know about the quarterback. What does he do when he has the ball before the end of the half? Can he drive the ball down the field, get his – points on the – can he get a field goal? Can we get a touchdown?
Right.
And then what does he do in the fourth quarter? Joe Montana taught me this. When he came to the Kansas City Chiefs, we were a really good football team. We had Derek Thomas, Neil Smith, and all that. We just couldn't get over the hump. We needed a quarterback, right? And he got us over the hump. He walks in the locker room, and all the players went, oh, we're a Super Bowl team now. So I'm sitting on the bus one day with Joe, and he asked me this question. He says, Herm, he says – how many games can this team, you think, win? I said, shoot, we can win, 10, 12 games. He goes, we're going to win more than that. I said, what are you talking about? And he says, I'm going to win 4. And I looked at him. I said, what? He said, I'm going to win 4 games. And he said, because I'm going to have the ball in the last possession in the fourth quarter, and I'm going to score. Playing the Denver Broncos. Monday Night Football against John Elway. Marty can't beat John Elway. That was his
nemesis,
Achilles heel, right? In Cleveland, he could never beat John Elway. So we're we got to beat. We're in Denver. Monday Night game. Joe Montana. And we're playing, and we're going, oh man, we finally got him. We finally got him. John Elway, he rolls to the right and throws some haymaker way down the field to the left hand side. And they score, and I go, no. I'm secondary coach. I'm going, no. They go up. I go, you got to be kidding me, man. They go up like 4 points or something like that. Now there's a minute, 10 seconds left or something on the clock. They kick off to us. Get the ball. We come across the 25-yard line. We just get to timeout. They go on the field. Paul Heck is the offensive coordinator. Marty's walking out there. And they're discussing, what they got to do. And so I see Joe all in the box. And I'm with Hackett. And Hackett says, hey, he looks at me. He says, I'm going to let him go. And I said, what are you talking about, let him go? So he looks at Martin. He goes, no, just
leave
get away.
Alone.
He walks out of the huddle.
Yeah.
He just walks away.
He just waves him
off. Marty's hollering, come in here. And I look at Hackett. I go, what's he doing? He says, he got this. He takes us down the field, 70 yards in about a minute, 15 seconds, with 2 seconds left, throws a touchdown pass. We win the game, and I go, that's one.
That's one.
He ended up doing that. He ended up winning 4 games.
Yeah.
And so what he told me, he says, the good quarterbacks, Herm, he said, they win in the fourth quarter on the road when they're behind. Mm. They get the last possession.
Yep.
He said the good quarterbacks want that.
Yep.
They want that.
Right.
They want to be put on
stage. Situational football.
Say,
Look at me.
I got the ball. You give me the ball last possession, I'll score points.
How many times have we hoped that Tom Brady didn't get the ball last?
Right? I mean, you know it.
When they, you know, the certain quarterbacks in the league that it's like, did you left him too much time? How much do we ever say that?
33 said 15 seconds.
Oh, you left him too much time.
Look, and you're in the basketball world.
Yeah.
You know who's taking the last shot.
Best player.
Right? And you go, he going to hit it.
Yeah.
He's going to hit the three-pointer. Yep. He's going to hit it to win the game.
Yeah. He's going to find his spot. He's going to make the shot.
It's the same way with the quarterback. When you have a great quarterback, you know you sleep good at night on Saturday night. Because you go, if I get the last possession, we got him. Mm. He's going to win a game.
Think about
this. I always talk about that prevent defense, prevent you from winning.
Yeah.
You're right.
Think about this. The last quarterback of the Jets to throw 30 touchdowns. You said Aaron Rodgers is good for at least 30.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you feel. The last Jet quarterback to throw 30 touchdowns in a season was he
Ivy League?
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Fitzpatrick.
Fitzmagic.
With Decker, and Brandon Marshall.
Yes.
That was short-lived.
31 in a season they did not make the playoffs.
Well, we needed 32 to beat Buffalo to go to the playoffs.
I mean, think about that. In a season they didn't make the playoffs. They failed to make the playoffs.
I would wonder how many times.
So 31. I'm scrolling here to find the next time a Jet quarterback.
Well.
Through 30 touchdowns in a season. A single Jet quarterback.
Tessa
Verde? Vinny threw 29. Right. So just shot.
But we ain't going to round that up.
We're not round it up. No.
Chad, no.
No, Chad never
because
did it.
You know why?
Didn't play enough.
Well, not only that. It wasn't because of that. I had this other guy. Name is Curtis Martin.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Didn't need him to throw.
I gave him the ball.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. He had the yellow jacket.
That's a great point.
I would ask this then. My question would be, when was the last time Aaron Rodgers didn't throw 30?
This last year. 225.
I believe it was that.
And he missed some games.
He didn't miss any games. He's missed one.
Excuse me, he had the thumb.
He had the thumb. He played through it.
I'm sorry,
that's the other remarkable thing about it, Coach.
Yeah.
Is that when we talk about what Rodgers is, and I do think things are different right now. And by the way, a friend of mine telling me that I don't have to need to keep scrolling. No other Jet quarterback's ever thrown 30 touchdowns. No. Jets have never had a quarterback throw 30. That's amazing. So the other thing that I think is we're in a different place now that a 38, 39-year-old accomplished athlete, we think – I always think when we talk about old quarterbacks, I always picture the Y.A. Tittle with the blood going down the side of his face, that famous photo. Yeah. And he wasn't – I don't even think he was – he wasn't 40 years old at that point.
No.
But he just looked it.
Yeah.
It's different today with these guys. Yeah. Do you feel like Rodgers is already just ready to fall off the cliff because of his age?
No.
What have you seen?
And what tells me that is if you go back and watch the Philadelphia Eagle game, in which he played, and he got hurt. He didn't finish that game.
Right.
When you watch him, some of the throws he made, and I'm watching it, I'm going, okay. He has arm talent similar. I don't want people to jump off the cliff to Mahomes. Yeah. He can throw from different angles.
Oh yeah,
that's what makes him so special, right?
Yeah.
So, but now, his movement in the pocket is not as good as it used to be. He's taking a lot of sacks.
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't move as well in the pocket
anymore.
That's
like Wes Brady got older.
Yeah, right? I mean,
he's still athletic.
He's still athletic.
He's not Brady.
He doesn't move like he used to move, you know? So, okay, but as far as throwing the football and understanding what he's seeing, look, you don't have a defense that he hasn't seen.
And the nuance, right? I always talk about the nuance.
You'll always
have
the smartest guy in the field,
I'm talking about the nuance. Like catching a guy being lazy. You know how them fat boys get.
Yeah.
It's a long play. They sit down there and they jogging off the field. He gets you a free play. He's gonna get you two or three first downs a game just with his snap count and getting guys out of rhythm.
You jump off sides. He already knows. Lazard already knows.
You take a
jump
shot.
Off
go.
Sides, you
go.
Take a shot.
Yep.
We're going. And everybody in the ball yard knows it.
And how important is that part of it, too? The other thing that I think is undervalued here, and you as a coach now, speak to this as a coach. Speaking of Hackett, they bring in his son. So Nathaniel Hackett.
Yes.
Is that system.
Yes.
It's one that Aaron has already played in, and they almost like have worked together in this system already. To have that to start instead of – like, even Brady went down there with Bruce, and it's like, you know, learning a little bit of some stuff and what do you want and what I want, and they had to work through it. And remember, most of that regular season, they were sort of like, you know, a 500 team.
Yeah.
So is that – do you think that's also going to be a hit-the-ground-running kind of thing because they already have the language down?
Well, that, but more important, situational football. He knows what Aaron wants to do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's big too. Right.
You get in third and sixes,
play
he knows this is what we like.
Yeah.
This is what Aaron likes throwing. Right? You get into the red zone. These are the formations. These are the type of routes he wants to. He already knows. He's lived it with him. So Aaron doesn't have to worry about what the call is. Aaron knows the call.
Yeah.
Because the coach has been there. The coach is gonna give him the call. It's the same old. He's just in a different uniform now.
So it's just up to Garrett Wilson
and
others
the players
to figure
to understand the importance of being where they're supposed to be on the field.
Okay.
That's gonna be the big deal. And that's why Aaron has to be there, because now, you know, this is an offense, their structure, but it also gets out of structure. And what are you supposed to do when it gets out of structure? Where are you supposed to be? Because Lazard knows what to do.
Yeah, when he scrambles, what the scramble drills are.
Where are you supposed to go now?
Yeah.
Okay? And these players got to know that. When it's hot and they're bringing pressure, what's the route? What am I supposed to do?
And wasn't that the issue last year with the Packers, those two young guys, especially Watson? Like, a couple of times, just didn't know what to do, and Rodgers was frustrated with that?
Especially, you saw it. You're right, and you saw it on a lot of deep throws.
Yes.
Where the timing was off.
Yeah. Scrambling drills, right? Like, I remember we used to play against Ben, and we knew what they were doing. If you're the receiver to closest to the sideline, and if he's scrambling, you turn up the field. If you're on the backside, you come get in his sight. Right. You come flat. So you basically have sail routes, short, intermediate, deep, but they're all within his sight line. He doesn't have to throw across his body. That's something that's planned out, because most plays break down.
That's exactly right.
What do you do when it breaks down? You have to be choreographed. You know, if you're the tight end, you're blocking. Late, you become an outlet. You turn around like Heath Miller, and I was checked down 5 yards. That's why it's important, and that's why I think that the Jets aren't done bringing in his guys. I think because you lost out on Odell Beckham, who he could probably get coached up on speed, now you have to go out and get a Randall Cobb, who's probably going to cost you maybe $3 million, but he's going to be a guy that can not just run the routes, but also be there to teach the other receivers, because Aaron Rodgers can't be expected to teach the outside Z receiver, the X receiver, the slot receiver. Why coaches always bring allies, former players that was with them, is because they help, one, with the identity and character of the team, but they also are teachers that can explain inside of meetings when you're watching film, this is what you do, this is why you do it, this is how we do it. You need multiple teachers to get caught up to speed in a short period of time.
Yeah, when you know the system, no doubt about that. It's Barton Hahn. We're talking with Coach Herm Edwards, getting ready for Aaron Rodgers. We'll be speaking with the media at 2 o'clock. We'll have it live for you right here on 98.7 ESPN. And Coach, again, I want to go back to your experience in New York, because another thing that you know surfaces from all this, of course, is if this were any other franchise getting him, I think there'd be a much different outlook. But because it comes back to the Jets, something like Fowler said it on Get Up this morning with us, right? Jets, always something happens, something.
Right.
When you came in and became the head coach, was that something that – I know Rex has talked about this too, that same old Jets thing. Did that bother you? Did you see that and say, oh, here it comes, I've got to stop it? Is there something that just comes with it, or is that a myth that we create because there just hasn't been a lot of success?
Well, I think because there's been not a lot of success, whatever you want to deem success, that's winning Super Bowls and all that.
Right.
And it's the media market.
The pressure.
Of that, right, of being a New York team. Good and bad. There's good and bad with that. I think the expectations, because you're a New York team, you know, New Yorkers have a certain bravado, right? We're the best. And so, you know, not only the best, they just feel that way, but your sports teams need to be the best,
too. We expect the best.
Right? Yeah. And you know, and they got one team over there, you know, that won a lot of championships. They play a different sport. Them Yankee guys, and they make it hard on everybody.
They make it look easy. Right?
Oh, boy, I tell you what. They got more championships. They ain't built a stadium big enough to hold all the trophies, right? And so, you know, all that is a part of it. But to play there, and Bart has played there. I've coached there. You know, I've played against the Jets when I was a player. It's a fun place to play, especially when you're playing good, because you can feel it. You can feel the energy. And I will say this, I can remember when we won the division and we had our first playoff game.
Last time we won the division too, 2002, right?
Yes.
It's amazing to think.
And the electricity in the stadium was just like, wow, right? I mean, it was a home. It was a playoff game. Yeah. At, you know, and I'm playing my best friend, Tony Dungy, with the Colts. And we had a good day. I mean, we basically, you know.
Smoked them.
Zero. Barbecue chicken.
Shut Peyton Manning out. First time he's ever been shut out of playoffs, right? And I can remember, you know, Tony's my friend. And I'm like, when it got to a point in the third quarter, and I'm telling Paul Hackett, Nathaniel's dad, hey, can we just run the ball? I don't want to keep the score down, right? Because just know the crowd and everybody else is just going. They're going crazy, right? Yeah. And it's like, and he says, I'm just calling runs. It's just one of the days. You know,
I don't know what else I can do.
And you can just
take a knee and punt.
Yeah, when you sat there on the sideline, you know, as a coach, you just embraced it. You embraced the fans of what they were feeling, the excitement they had, you know.
I think we're witnessing it right now, watching what's going on with the Knicks.
Yes.
I mean, they shut down 7th Avenue, put it on the glass in Allen, you know, hanging out for him behind the show, like electric. They shut down the street.
How about that?
For an opening series.
They did, twice.
The opening series. This ain't the
– No.
We ain't going to Eastern Conference Finals right now.
It's the first round, Coach.
The first round.
Friday night and Sunday afternoon, both times NYPD had to come in and clear out because people did not want to go home. They were having that much fun.
So that explains
this city.
And for all the people out there, I dealt with the same old Jets. And like I said, I don't know that. All I know is what my career has been about. I don't inherit that. I don't have to carry that history.
That's not your history.
I remember the Saints used to be the Aints.
Yes.
I remember the Tampa Bay Buccaneers used to be the Creamsicles, right? Yep. Like, so I don't want to hear about what past history is. It's not an indication of future outcomes. And with Aaron Rodgers here, it's a clean slate. Every year is a clean slate, whether you have a great history or not. Every year is unique. So I don't care about what happened to the Jets, what bad fortunes they've had. I mean, look at what happened out there with the Rams, with Jared Goff. They get one player, and that's enough to prepare. And they didn't need him to be great. They just need him to hold on to the steering wheel, not crash the car.
Yeah.
And the Jets don't need Aaron Rodgers to be MVP. That'll be great. That's what my expectations is, because I think he has a tremendous amount of weapons, and I think some fruit going to shake from some trees once people realize that, hey, I need to rebrand myself and I need to get an opportunity to kind of get a one-year contract. Why not go to New York?
Mm-hmm.
I think Calais Campbell made a big mistake. This would have been an opportunity. I think his best chance in his career to win a championship. He decided to go to Atlanta. That's his business. But that spot opens up somebody else for an opportunity to have a spot. Right? You got some great free agents still out there just waiting to see what happens after the draft. You got guys like Jadeveon Clowney out there. You got Puna Ford out there. You got some guys that still have a lot of game left. And I played with the likes of Jason Taylor late in his career. And he may not have been what he was, but great players can always be great for short periods of time when you need them to be. So you put them on a pitch count, and you use those players. So the Jets are in position because they're an attractive destination. Because Aaron Rodgers said, hey, it is safe to come to New York. I'm here. I don't care what you heard, what it's been. I'm here. It's safe to come. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe I can do it. And if you played against me, you know what type of man I am, what type of player I am. Come on over here if you want to try and go for this free ride. Ain't no better ride in football than the Jets or a New York team riding high, because the media market will elevate you to statuses and levels that you – listen, I am on this damn show today. I was a Jet for 4 years. Damon Woody. Right, just look at all the representation in the media and effect that playing and winning some games in New York can do for not just your football career, but for your life.
Yeah, no, Bart makes a great point, because when you're there in New York, if you can win or you're a great player, they
know how hard it is to play here.
Yes, they do.
You get a plus one. Hold up, you did what? You did it in New York?
Yeah.
Damn.
Now, it was funny.
You deal with them crazy people?
Because the thing I learned, you know, and it was funny, because I played in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a hard place to play.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So when I went to New York, it wasn't like, okay, it was like, I wasn't like, well, no. I played in Philadelphia. You think you got some hard fans?
Yeah.
You go play in front of them fans.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so I understood that. Because I'm from the West Coast, but I happened to play on the East Coast team in Philadelphia. So we used to play the Giants all the time. You knew about the New York media, mm-hmm. right, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And when I took the job, I understood it. I knew what I was walking into, and I embraced it, to be quite honest.
Yeah, and I think you have to.
Everybody's not built for this city, and if you show that you built for this city, they respect the fact that you didn't fold.
Right.
It's too many athletes come here and fold underneath the pressure. You got to have a lot of – you got to have some thick skin.
And you know what else? I think when you're honest, when you screw up, you say, man, it's on me.
I agree.
I did it.
Yeah.
Don't try to – it's on
me. Too many guys don't want accountability.
Point that thumb. Point that thumb.
It's on me. It's on the head ball coach. It's on me. And I think that is the thing that I think I gained with the media right away, that they knew, like, he's going to tell the truth. This is what it is.
Right.
You know, if we play bad, we play bad.
And it's all you ask for sometimes. You screwed up. All right, you admit it. You explain it, and we move on. But when you try to cover it up or blame someone else, that's when you fall to the – you can never act like
he did it.
That I can't be held accountable, that I'm perfect. No. Like, that's when we start calling you out.
Julius Randle experienced that and understand what that's
learned.
All about.
And he's
good
since
and
learned.
Bad.
All right, Coach, I know you got to run. You got a lot of work to do today. We appreciate the time you hanging out
Anytime.
With us. But before we let you go, I do have to at least get some sort of a – I don't know about a prediction, but at least what you expect. Like, where are the Jets right now with Aaron Rodgers in the AFC?
They are contending to win that division. I believe they are a playoff team. And if they get in the playoffs, you have a veteran quarterback. The thing that they got to realize is this with these guys. They don't have a lot of players on this football team that have experience playing in the playoffs.
That's true.
Bart knows this.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different game when you get in the playoffs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can say, well, I'm ready for it. Oh, hold on. It's different. It's just different. Mm-hmm. And that's the deal. You know, but other than that, this team is – they got hope.
Yeah.
They got a possibility. They play in a tough division. AFC East has some good quarterbacks, by the way.
Yeah.
Look, and you can say what you want about that New England guy up there, the New England team up there.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. That's Bill Belichick.
Yep.
He's a pretty good football coach last time I checked.
Yeah.
He's not going to have two bad years.
Yeah.
He's not. This ain't happening, right? And so you think about Miami, if Tua can stay healthy.
Yeah.
We know about Burrows, right? I mean, so this is a fun conference all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
With Aaron Rodgers added to the
to
the Jets, right?
Yep.
This is going to be
he's the old gunslinger with a bunch of young quick draws.
That's
a lot of
exactly
Billy the Kids
right.
in here.
Exactly
a lot of
right.
guys that's trying to get a career. He's on his way out. He's like Shane trying to ride off into the sunset.
Yeah.
That's what's going to make this so much fun.
Coach,
always great to spend time with you. Thanks so much. It was great to have you
anytime,
on, and that perspective was fantastic.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Really enjoyed that conversation. Hope you guys did too. If you missed it, we'll put it up as a podcast later on social medias.
Man, CJ Stroud really taking a hit, bro.
What's going on?
For the test scores. I guess they have this new test, like a Wonderlic or
this
something
like that.
This
is why, like, the draft anticipation, it just kind of gets goofy. Because
they always find a way to break somebody down.
It's almost like we're tired of talking about this guy going number one, so now let's find reasons why he won't. And this is usually when it just starts getting stupid.
So it's called the S2 results.
Yeah. Okay.
And, Stroud saying, I'm not a test taker. So basically, I suppose it's the new version of the Wonderlic. So maybe this is why people are saying, hey, maybe he can't pick up. He's not a quick thinker under pressure.
Processing information.
Yeah, yeah. Like, come on, man. Like, it's a lot of guys that have failed these Wonderlic tests. I can't think of them any right now that has played well in NFL. But, like, the Wonderlic test is like trying to judge kids off their ACT and SAT and saying that's an indication of what they're going to be in the future
right.
and how well they can do once they actually get in college. It's a joke. That one test doesn't define what a player is going to be. You know, some people can't take tests. Some people, you got guys under immense stress and pressure. You don't know what's going on in these people's life, man. Like, and the fact that the S2, since that's the new thing, is something that, okay, you didn't do good. Okay, well, keep going on that analytics because I'm going to keep looking at the film and what I see a player do in the sport that he's actually playing.
I don't know why they have to have these tests, to be honest with you. I mean, if you've watched enough football, especially at the college level, and you get to know
it's
a player,
the geek squad.
You kind of figure out what this guy can or can't do. All right. So right now, Bart, it is time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files. The
Audio File. Audio Files brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. So, Bart, last night, one of our local teams got a dub to stay alive. The Islanders
Strong Island.
Go down to Carolina. They get a 3-2 win. Hanging on. I mean, hanging on by a thread. And I dig that about you, baby. But Anders Lee, now the Islanders, he's the captain of the team. The Islanders now, their game is Friday at UBS Arena. So they get to go home now and see if they can force a game 7. And for Anders Lee, it's all about one day at a time.
One game at a time. We were in a little bit of a hole. Took the first step that we needed to take tonight, but it's all you can do. Now we're going back home, get in front of our fans in our building, and have an opportunity to do it again.
Have a chance to win. That's all you want. Try to get that home win and then force that game 7 where it's all on the line.
Yeah, and all the pressure's on the team that's been up as you complete the comeback and make it a one-game series. I just asked. You know, the Islanders, USB Arena, right?
UBS.
UBS, yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. Close enough. You know, I'm dyslexic. All right, UBS Arena.
The USB Arena is the one you plug into.
I wonder, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because you talk about the pressure of playing in New York.
It's a loud building. I think it would be a good thing. I think it can be good for
juice,
them.
Make them skate fast, skate hard.
This team has played very well with the home crowd. It's just that game 4, that was a bad game. Now, did you see, by the way, you love toughness.
I love toughness.
The Islanders scored one goal when it hit off one of the Hurricanes. His name was Sebastian Aho. Hit him in the face.
Yeah.
And he fell. The puck lands at Brock Nelson's feet. And he was like, okay. Like this dude's face got demolished.
It's like Boys in the Hood. Y'all want to see a dead body? Whatever.
Like, I bet that hurt, but I'm about to score this goal here.
Get up, Craig.
All right.
Don't be pulling that falling down the stairs, crap.
You heard me earlier in the show. The Yankees lost again yesterday. They're underway with the Twins right now to finish out this series, but they've lost the first two games of their series with the Twins. And so it was the first time since 2001 that the Yankees have lost a series to the Minnesota Twins. Byron Buxton couldn't believe it.
What do you think when you hear that 2001 is the last time the Twins won the season series against them?
I don't even know how to put that in words. That's what, 21
years? 22 years.
22 years. 22 years? I was 6. That's the last time we won?
Season series.
Yeah, this one felt extra good out there.
He said I was 6.
Damn. We that scrubby? Damn.
Last but not least.
That's what the Patriots saying about the Jets. But let's go in.
Well, I mean.
Damn, it was 2012 last time Jets beat us.
Hey, kids, how old were you the last time the Jets won a division? Because the man who was sitting with us here in the previous segment, Herm Edwards, he was the head coach when they won their division.
I was in college.
Think about that. Like, you don't realize how long it has been until you put it into perspective in ways like that. And so that's something, you know, again, let's keep an eye on. Like, can you know, you heard Herm say. Well, they can win the division.
I believe so. I mean, it's major concerns. Can Josh Allen stay healthy? You know, are they going to take some of the food, take some of the responsibilities off his plate? They haven't had a good running game. He's been a running game and the passing game. You know, and he's been dinged up, and they're trying to tell him to stop running. If he has to adjust and be a different quarterback, is he the same player that has electrified the NFL for the last 4 or 5 years? Then you look at, you know, Tua Tagovailoa. Can he stay healthy? Oh, that's right. They got Mike White. Oh, he can't stay healthy either. So together they don't have a guy that's capable of putting together a 16-game season right there. And then, you know, you got the Jets. Aaron has been available for the last 5 years. You know, I think you should think, hey, possibly I have the best quarterback. Now, he was not what he used to be, but those guys ain't what he ever was.
And last but not least, as the tonight we've got four really good NBA playoff games, including the Knicks and the Cavs in Cleveland. What you had last night was some closeouts, and one of them is the Phoenix Suns moving on with a fantastic performance once again by Devin Booker. But the Clippers lose, and their season now is over. And when you think about it, the Clippers have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. But they didn't have Paul George for the playoffs because he was injured. And then Kawhi Leonard got hurt again during the playoffs. So Tyronn Lue doesn't want to hear about it when you talk about a roster where you have a couple of guys who just don't play.
Our two best players got hurt. I mean, would you take Steph and Clay off of Golden State? Take Booker and KD off this team. Greek Freak was out two games. They could. He's the best, you know. So just, you know, take your two best players off any team in the league and see if they can win in the playoffs against a team that's picked to win it. No letdowns. Like I said, I'm proud of every guy in that locker room. Scrap and compete every night, you know, and that's all you can ask for, you know, when you're shorthanded. And so, you know, you take the two best players off anybody's team, they're not going to win. I don't care, you know, how you look at it. They're not going to do it, you know. And so, but that doesn't mean you can't compete and fight and play hard and play the right way every single night. And I really thank our guys for doing that every single night, even in tough situations, you know, we had to go through.
Look, he's a great coach, and he gets his teams to play hard. But as much as he's trying to make that case, he's got to be frustrated that we can never be home.
If you're going to sit up there and load manage throughout the year, you expect them to be available. Both of them not available for the playoffs? What are you going to do next year? Hold them out all the way to the
Or maybe he shouldn't sit out.
And look at the assets that they've already acquired and paid and bringing in, you know, Westbrook and going out but bringing back Batum and all those guys, the depth and all the money that he's built and paid. And there's no return on investment.
They've got to wonder.
It is no return on investment.
No, none. And they've got to wonder, is it worth it?
This is the wrong star to build your future around. You got a guy with a degenerative knee.
Yep.
That the knee is basically falling apart in front of us, and he's not going to play through any uncomfortable situation because he's going to make sure that he preserves himself. And he's young. He's the oldest young man I've ever seen. And you talk about, oh, well, they didn't have the Greek Freak. Yeah, but the thing is, you believe that that's an outlier. This is more the norm with this team and these two players than it is with those other guys.
Since he left San Antonio, the roll of the dice year was Toronto. Toronto took a risk with him, and in 1 year it paid off handsomely. They won a championship. He left there, and ever since, he has just not been available enough.
You don't get more healthy as you get older.
No, you don't. All right, that's Audiophiles.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So coming up, we'll go live. Aaron Rodgers, 2 o'clock, introduced as the new Jets quarterback. You'll hear from him there. The first words you get are right here. And then he'll be on the Michael Kay Show at 3:30. So you certainly don't want to miss that as well. Good get by the Kay Show, right?
Absolutely.
You gotta
love it. Ryan, hottest ticket in town.
That's it. Just leave it right here. No need to change the channel. We've told you that many times before. All right, let's grab a couple of calls here before we get to Aaron Rodgers, 800-919-3776. Bob is in Wayne. What's up, Bob?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to go over a few things you were talking about. I think the guy that Favre replaced was Magic Man.
Yes, Gaskowski. Yep.
Yeah, he had the greatest mullet in the league at the time. Great mullet, not that good a quarterback. You know, we had spoken before, and I think Bart and I, you know, were on the same page. We didn't want to give up the 13th, but the 13th and the 15th are basically just a flip and they're probably going to go with the tight end, Green Bay. So you're still not, you know, you're still not losing that anchor lineman. Next, we always, or at least I thought it was going to be the 42nd pick and the second pick next year that would have been elevated to a first if he played enough, which you wanted. Now, if they get a good enough season this year, that pick's not even going to be probably in the top 24, maybe not in the top 28. So that's a wash. As far as 170 and 207, okay, we can all name Tom Brady was 199. Bart Starr was picked in the 17th round by the Packers when there were 10 teams in the league. The reality is it's all about can you evaluate talent and can you get lucky between 170 and 207. So I think the Jets got a great deal. I don't think they gave up any more than they should have. And the people that say they did just don't understand the NFL draft. They really don't.
They're haters. First of all, you'll mess around and get some compensatory picks, so you'll get some more picks than that for some of the free agents that you probably lost. But, Bob, to your point, this is essentially what you gave up for Aaron Rodgers. Maybe pick 25. Because I don't want to care about you gave up a second-round draft because you didn't. You got rid of a disgruntled receiver, and you got Aaron Rodgers. And you replaced him with a player that has 20 touchdowns in 2 years in Mecole Harmon.
Yeah, we forget that second.
So what are you talking about? That's a player. So you really didn't give up a pick because the pick was the player. So you basically got rid of a player. If I tell you, hey, they traded Elijah Moore and maybe a second round or a first round pick next year for Aaron Rodgers, they'll be like, man, you stole him.
And then you're flipping picks that are two picks apart. Yeah. I never understood
either. They're not really in the market for your player.
Why Seth Walder gave him a C minus?
It's stupid. Because
what are you talking
about? If I say they traded Elijah Moore in next year's 28th pick in the draft for Aaron Rodgers, you'd be like, man, that is nothing. Mm-hmm. And you're paying him $43 million.
Well,
you're paying him $43 million, and that's less than what Daniel Jones gets paid. You'd be like, yo, you stole him.
Let's also keep in mind this. This deal will look a lot different probably a year from now. Because we'll know a year from now the result of the season. Am I right? Like I think that's something to keep in mind. This deal, we won't know really how to assess the trade until we see the results of his first season as a Jet. It's as simple as that. But we want to have that immediate take of, did they give up too much? We don't know. Because if he plays great, of course they didn't give up too much. He gets hurt,
they upgraded.
They gave up too much.
They upgraded the most important position, and it cost you Elijah Moore, a guy that wanted to be traded next year. So you trade them. Oh, you lost Elijah Moore. Oh, but you got Mecole Harmon.
I understand.
That's a wash.
Yeah.
It's a wash.
I understand.
You basically traded one of your assets. It's like you're sitting around, you're like, man, I need some money. I really want this new jacket. And you look around like, oh, I got these old Jordans here that I don't really wear. Let me go sell them on the real, get some cash, and go buy what I really want. They traded Elijah Moore for Aaron Rodgers.
Is the real? Is that like, do you do that?
It's called the real.
I know. I've seen it. I just
I just put a coat on there, and it sold for $10,000.
A coat.
Yeah. The coat was $34,000, but I never wore it before.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought it from a sample sale, so I only bought it for $4,000, and I sold it for $12,000. It's Vicuña.
Is that baby cashmere?
No, it's another level. It's a Vicuña is an animal that's higher than cashmere. So you get a Vicuña suit.
There's a higher than cashmere?
Yeah, you get a Vicuña coat or a Vicuña suit, might run you $50,000.
Wow.
I got it from a sample sale 4 years ago. And I was like, man, this coat just sitting here. I'm never going to wear this hot-ass coat.
Let me just
coat.
Put it on the real and get 10 G's in my pocket.
Yeah. I never, nice. You know, and so I used that. Part of for my down payment for my jailbreak Hellcat. See, so just right. Like Aaron Rodgers, I turned Elijah Moore to Aaron Rodgers. I turned a Vicuña coat that doesn't move real fast for a jailbreak Hellcat. The last one. Last call for jailbreak Mopar cars, baby.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.